Well, good morning. Leslie asked me to share about Pentecost, so that's where I'm going to start. Pentecost is the turning point, a new beginning in the history of the human race. The first time that a person of body and soul, and that's all anybody ever is, body and soul, the first time since the fall of Adam, that a person of body and soul could receive the gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high, the seed of Christ created within. And since Pentecost, anyone who chooses to confess Jesus as Lord and believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead is born again and receives that gift of Holy Spirit. I'd like to begin this morning in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 7. And it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." So man formed the body of man out of the dust of the ground, gave him those nice little curves. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
Thank you.
He gave him mouth to mouth, you know. He kind of, when somebody stops breathing, in order to bring them back to life again, the first thing they do is give them mouth to mouth. Says he breathed into his nostrils. We don't have to breathe into anybody's nostrils, but you give him mouth to mouth, you get that breath life going again. So he formed the body, and then that body had life once he breathed the breath of life into him. So he's a two-part being there. And then if we look at chapter 1 in verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." And John 4:24 says the image of God, or God, is spirit. So the image of God that's being spoken of here is that spirit. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So originally there was two in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. And it says here that he created them in his image. He created spirit, because that's the image of God. And Dr. Wirl in the Power for Abundant Living class gives a definition of create. To create literally means to get something out of nothing. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but here it says he created spirit. So Adam and Eve had no spirit, and he created spirit in them. To create literally means to get something out of nothing, or to bring into existence something which never existed in any form before. And it also says, male and female created he them. And that kind of puts a personal aspect to what he did spiritually to them, male and female. It was spirit, it was the image of God, but there was a uniqueness to each, a personalization in what he did. Not that the spirit was different, but the relationship it provided was singular, their own spirit, hence the need for it being created in each. Because it was different, the relationship that it provided to that individual. And also, if you're a numbers person, the word created in verse 27 is used three times. Created man in his image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And number three is, of course, the number of completeness. Man was complete by that spirit that God created in him, that personal, individual spirit that they had. So if we look at Ephesians chapter 2. Very familiar verse of scripture. All this will be pretty familiar to everybody. Ephesians chapter 2 and then verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship. God creates that spirit. When a person confesses Romans 10, 9 and 10, he gets born again, and God creates that spirit in that individual. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. It says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." In the working translation, the verse is, "And that ye clothe yourselves with the new man, which was created in accordance with God, in justness and devoted to truth." So again, that spirit is created in the individual. And it's the new man. It's called the new man here. If we look at Colossians chapter 3. Give you a couple books to Colossians chapter 3. And in verse 10. It says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Well, who created him? God created him. And the image of God is spirit. So that new man, that's part of the spirit that you receive when you're born again, is created. It's the image of God, the spirit created within you. And if we go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So the new man, that spirit that lives within you, the image of God, Christ in you, it's all wrapped up in that spiritual gift that you receive when you're born again of God's Spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, and starting in verse 8, it says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And the working translation on this one: "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit from God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit, that is to say Christ, then he does not belong to him. But since Christ dwells in you, then the body, the old nature, is indeed dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of justness. If the Spirit from him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of or by way his Spirit dwelling in you." And if we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So that spirit, the image of God, that Christ in you, is also referred to as incorruptible seed. And each time a person confesses, Romans 10, 9, and 10, that seed is created in them. Again, it's an individual thing that God does to that believer at the time of the new birth. So, the seed is created in that individual, and again, it's unique. So if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those India pages stick together sometimes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll start in verse 11. And it's in the context here, it's talking about the manifestations. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit. So that gift of Holy Spirit that we receive is what allows us to operate the manifestations. It's the one and everybody gets that same Spirit. But dividing to every man severally as he wills. The individual still has the freedom of will to operate his spirit. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into that one, into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And then in verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. So that Spirit is the same Spirit for every individual. But the working of that Spirit is up to the individual. And we're all members of the body of Christ, but God has put the members where it has pleased him. And of course, God doesn't make any mistakes. He's perfect. So he's put you at the best possible position, and you have that Spirit to give you that unique communication of God, with God, to function in that position where God has placed you. So, in Philippians chapter 2, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God works in you, and it's by way of that Holy Spirit that you have. But it's a unique relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father through that Spirit. And he'll give you the thoughts or the inspirations or the need that you have at a particular moment to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then the individual has the option of whether he's going to move on that, what he has received. It's the same Spirit, but it's as the man wills, as the individual wills, to bring that to pass. So, it's the same Spirit, but it's a unique relationship with the Heavenly Father. Pentecost is the restoration of the Spirit part of man, the image of God created in Christ Jesus, Christ in you, incorruptible seed, eternal life. It is how God works within us. We are one body by that Spirit, but unique in our contribution to that body, and that being where it has pleased him. Christianity is the relationship of a father with his children. We are all born again children of God. Today's Mother's Day. The mothers all have children. kids have individual needs, individual abilities, and individual relationship with their parents. We're children of God. We have individual needs, we have individual abilities, and an individual relationship with our Heavenly Father. Perhaps that's why Genesis says, male and female created he them. Our God is a personal, loving Heavenly Father, and Pentecost was the turning point for us living in this, the Grace Administration. God bless, I love you. You are the best.
Cool.
A little bit about Pentecost.